Okay, so, we've received some really fascinating material for us to dig into this time. And it's all about Christ's second coming, and what the Bible refers to as those, those signs of the times. And I think we can all relate to this. It can sometimes feel like we're, trying to walk through a minefield of all these different perspectives and opinions. And so what we really want to do today is kind of get to that, the core of what these teachings are all about. Like, what are those essential things that we need to grasp, in our own lives and in our own walks without, getting lost in those endless debates about all the little,
Yeah, the
the
nuances,
nuances. Yeah,
all the
exactly.
details.
All the details. So we're going to be taking a deep dive into a teaching session by Dr. Robert A. Peterson.
That's right.
And we're really going to focus on the function of Christ's second coming and the real meaning behind these signs. Think of this as kind of your guide to those,
This next
the
whoosh.
crucial insights. And we want to go beyond just knowing what the Bible says about these things, but to really dig into why it's saying it.
Why it's saying it. That's a good way to put it.
And Dr. Peterson, he gives us this like really useful way to categorize these signs. He puts them into signs that reveal God's grace and signs that indicate opposition to God, which is great. Like, that gives us
A great framework.
a great framework for our conversation. Okay, so let's jump right in.
Let's do it.
What seems to be like that central point that Dr. Peterson's making?
Well, I think right from the start, he really emphasizes that the main reason we're taught about the second coming is to encourage spiritual readiness. He points us to those consistent calls in the Gospels. Like Matthew 24.42, Mark 13.33, Luke 21.36, where Jesus tells us, over and over again, to keep watch, to be ready, to be on guard, to be alert. And it's not just about passively watching,
The near.
the news cycle, but it's about an active state of preparation in our hearts and in our lives.
It's like, that saying, stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
It's a good one.
Dr. Peterson, he uses this like simple but effective analogy. He says we should be like spiritual Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts with their motto, be prepared.
Always be prepared.
But he also brings up this point that I think like really resonates.
Hi. Oh, yeah.
It expresses this concern that sometimes when we study, these end times prophecies, it becomes more about like scoring points in theological debates and proving other believers wrong on like, minor issues. And it's like the whole point of these
It gets
teachings
lost
gets lost.
in the minutia, and the, it's kind of the back and forth.
And it becomes more about like who's right and who's wrong than about like what are we supposed to be doing
What's
with
the
this information?
point?
And this actually connects with this, really powerful idea from D.A. Carson that Dr. Peterson highlights. And Carson says we need to understand not only what scripture teaches, but also its function, like the underlying why.
The why behind the what.
So when we're thinking about, the doctrine of the second coming, the key question isn't just, what are the potential timelines or,
What order things happen in.
But like, what is this teaching meant to do in our lives right now?
Right now.
Like, what kind of impact should it be having? And it's not just about knowing the facts, is it?
No, it's not.
Like Dr. Peterson, he brings up 1 John 3, which says that everyone who has this hope in Christ's return purifies himself as he is pure. So that's like a pretty direct connection between believing in this future event and how we're living in the present. It's about our character being shaped by this hope.
It's not just head knowledge. It's about transformation. It's about our lives looking different because of this hope.
And Titus 2.13 talks about waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And this isn't supposed to be a source of anxiety or fear,
Not at all.
but like genuine joy and anticipation.
Eager anticipation.
So, for those listening, it's worth asking yourself, does your understanding of Christ's return lead to that kind of purification in your life?
Right. Does it
fuel that?
Does it produce that fruit?
Yeah, that joyful and hopeful outlook.
Uh-huh.
That's like a good, you know.
That's a good check-in.
Check-in question.
Yeah, a good check-in point.
Yeah.
For sure.
And even those passages that sometimes get, you know, really intensely debated.
Right.
Like 1 Thessalonians 4.18.
Yeah.
Often associated, you know.
With the rapture.
With the rapture.
Yeah, sure.
Dr. Peterson reminds us of its primary purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Which is to encourage one another with these words.
To bring comfort, yeah.
To bring comfort.
Mm-hmm.
So if our, you know, discussions about these topics aren't leading to that kind of encouragement,
yeah.
Maybe we're kind of...
Maybe we've lost the plot a little bit.
Yeah, we're focused on the wrong things.
Yeah, we're focused on the wrong things.
Yeah.
I think that's a really helpful reminder.
Yeah.
So let's shift gears a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's shift our focus to the signs of the times.
Okay.
And Dr. Yeah. Peterson, he wisely points out...
Mm-hmm.
That this is an area
yeah.
where misinterpretations and even fanaticism can arise.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So we need to approach this
mm-hmm.
with caution.
Yeah.
And with a balanced perspective.
It's so tempting to try and, like,
oh, yeah.
you know, decode every news headline as some specific sign,
right.
you know, predicted in the Bible.
Yeah, like it's the secret code
yeah.
that unlocks everything.
Yeah, exactly. But Dr. Peterson brings in this... you know, helpful concept of degrees of error.
Yeah, yeah.
He reminds us that, you know, when it comes to those finer details
uh-huh.
of these future events,
mm-hmm.
you know, we all have limitations in our understanding.
Yeah, we're not going to get it all right.
Yeah.
This side of heaven.
Right. So what's essential
yeah.
is to hold firmly to those core truths.
Yes, the non-negotiables.
The non-negotiables.
Yeah.
Which are,
you know,
Christ's second coming itself.
Right.
The resurrection of the dead.
The resurrection.
The final judgment.
The final judgment.
And, you know, the reality of eternal destinies.
Yeah. These are the big things.
Those are the big things, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Don't get lost in the weeds.
Yeah.
Focus on the mountains.
Okay, so mm-hmm. when we talk about these, you know, signs of the times,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Peterson, you know, he draws on the work of theologians
yeah.
like Anthony Hokema
mm-hmm.
and David Clyde Jones.
Yeah.
And defines them as, like, events or conditions
yeah.
that precede Christ's second coming.
Uh-huh. Precursors.
Yeah, precursors.
Yeah.
And these can include things like the widespread proclamation of the gospel, the salvation of Israel, periods of tribulation,
yeah.
increasing apostasy, the emergence of, you know, an antichrist figure,
yeah.
wars and natural disasters.
Right. All those things that we see yeah. happening in the world today.
Right. But here's where things get really interesting
mm-hmm.
and where a lot of potential confusion can be cleared up.
Yeah.
Dr. Peterson emphasizes the idea
mm-hmm.
of already and not yet
yeah.
in relation to these signs.
It's so important.
Yeah.
It's so crucial.
He's highlighting that these aren't necessarily
mm-hmm.
all future events
right.
just waiting to happen,
uh-huh.
but rather they are characteristics of this entire period
yes.
between Christ's first coming and his second.
Yeah, the whole time in between.
Yeah, this, yeah. you know, this already and not yet framework.
The framework is huge
yeah.
for understanding these prophecies.
Yeah.
And think about it.
Yeah.
Has the gospel been spreading
mm-hmm.
throughout the world since Jesus ascended?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Have there been wars and natural disasters yeah. throughout human history?
Sadly, yes.
Regrettably, yes.
Yeah.
So these aren't necessarily mm-hmm. brand new phenomena.
Right.
Signaling an imminent date specific return,
yeah,
but rather ongoing realities
mm-hmm.
that should continually point our hearts and minds
right
towards our ultimate hope
yeah
in Christ's return.
It's not like, you yeah. know, we see, you know,
right,
you know, famine over here and earthquake over there yeah. and it's like, oh no,
yeah.
he's coming back next Tuesday.
Yeah, it's not about that.
Yeah,
it's not about, like,
yeah,
you know, setting dates. It's about that ongoing reality
yeah.
that we live in.
He uses this, like, really insightful analogy
oh, yeah.
of a seismologist studying earthquakes.
Uh-huh.
You know, our ability to detect and measure seismic activity
right.
has dramatically increased over time.
For sure.
But that doesn't automatically mean
mm-hmm.
that earthquakes are happening more frequently or with greater intensity than in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Our awareness has simply grown.
Exactly. Our awareness has grown.
Yeah. And it's the same
if it's the same
with these signs.
Uh-huh.
they should stir in us that longing for Christ.
Yeah.
Not necessarily that frantic attempt to create like a prophetic timeline.
Not about like, you know,
drawing
up charts and graphs and trying to, you know, set dates and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And that leads us to this, you know, crucial understanding of imminence.
Yeah.
Dr. Peterson clarifies that, you know, mm-hmm. when we say Christ's return is imminent, it means it is certain to happen. And it's something that we should always be ready for and eagerly anticipating.
Absolutely. Be looking forward to.
Yeah.
You know,
it doesn't. It does not mean that it is predictable.
No.
In terms of a specific date.
Not at all.
We are called to watch as Jesus instructed.
Yeah.
But that watchfulness is about maintaining that state of moral and spiritual preparedness.
Yeah.
Not about trying to like decipher
a
secret calendar.
Not about, you know, figuring out the code before God's ready to reveal it.
And David Jones's words, which Dr. Peterson quotes, are particularly memorable here.
Yeah, they are good.
He says Christ's return will be unexpected by the careless and indifferent, but expected, though not predicted by the watchful.
It's a good one.
It really reframes that whole idea of watching, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay, so let's delve into those.
Let's do it.
Specific categories of signs that Dr. Peterson outlines,
okay.
starting with the signs that demonstrate God's grace.
All right.
And the first of these,
yeah.
and Dr. Peterson highlights this as like the outstanding and most characteristic sign of the time.
Yeah, he's quoting Hokima there.
Quoting Hokima, is the proclamation of the gospel to all nations, as we see in Matthew 24.14.
Yeah.
And this isn't a sign that will like suddenly appear out of nowhere.
Right.
It's an ongoing mission.
An ongoing mission.
Entrusted to the church throughout this entire period between Christ's comings.
Yeah, the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it should serve as like a powerful motivator
for
our continued efforts in Christian missions.
Absolutely.
So instead of these signs being about like secret knowledge or causing division, the most prominent sign is actually about sharing the good news of God's love with the world.
It's a beautiful thing.
That's a really powerful, you know.
Yeah, the good reminder.
Shift in perspective.
For sure.
And the second sign of God's grace that Dr. Peterson discusses is the salvation of the fullness of Israel.
Yes.
Which takes us into the complex and often debated territory of Romans 11.
Romans 11, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a rich and sometimes confusing passage.
Yeah, to unpack. Yeah,
for sure.
But Dr. Peterson, he provides, you know, some really helpful historical context, reminding us that the early church in Rome likely began primarily with Jewish believers.
Right.
As more Gentiles came to faith, tensions arose.
They did.
As we see reflected in Romans 14 and 15, where Paul, you know, emphasizes the need for unity and mutual acceptance between Jewish and Gentile Christians.
Between Jew and Gentile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this historical backdrop is really important for understanding Paul's arguments in Romans 9 through 11 regarding God's promises to Israel.
Yeah.
Okay. So in Romans 9, Paul talks about God's sovereign choice and the idea of a remnant of believers within Israel.
Right.
Then in Romans 10, he addresses Israel's responsibility and culpability for their unbelief in Christ.
Yes.
But it's in Romans 11 where the idea that God's plan for ethnic Israel isn't finished really comes into focus.
Yeah, that's where it all comes together.
Yeah. And Paul introduces what he calls a mystery.
Yeah.
This partial hardening of Israel.
Of Israel.
Has occurred until the full number of Gentiles come into the kingdom.
And then he says, in this way, all Israel will be saved.
Right.
Romans 11:25-26.
Yes.
And now,
the
interpretation of what all Israel means in this context is where, you know,
that's where
different theological viewpoints emerge.
It gets a little sticky.
It does.
Yeah.
So Dr. Peterson explains, you know, two primary ways of understanding this. One view,
which he associates with the theologian O. Palmer Robertson, understands all Israel to refer to spiritual Israel. That is the church,
yeah.
composed of both believing Jews and Gentiles.
Yep, both Jew and Gentile.
Yeah. But the second view,
mm-hmm.
which Dr. Peterson aligns with Hokima,
mm-hmm.
understands all Israel to refer specifically to ethnic Israel.
Ethnic Israel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The physical descendants.
Right. The physical descendants.
Of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And within that second understanding,
uh-huh.
there are further, you know, nuances.
Yeah, there are some nuances
there. Regarding the timing.
Right, about when this happens.
Yeah. Yeah. So Hokima's view is that all Israel refers to the total number of Jewish people who will be saved throughout the entire period between Christ's first and second coming.
The whole time in between.
Yeah. And Dr. Peterson agrees with this already.
That's
aspect.
Already aspect.
That Jewish people have been coming to faith throughout this time.
Mm.
But he also leans towards like a not yet element.
Yeah, that... Not you.
Suggesting a future large-scale turning to Christ by ethnic Jews as the time of his return approaches.
As we get closer to the second coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he supports this by referencing the enduring nature of God's gifts and calling.
Yeah.
As Paul mentions in Romans 11:29.
Exactly.
And he also makes sure to, you know, respectfully acknowledge the dispensational view, which envisions like a future political entity of Israel undergoing a mass conversion after the rapture of the church.
After the rapture.
Yeah. But he, you know, explains his reasons for holding a different perspective. It's really helpful how he lays out these different viewpoints.
Yeah.
You know, without being dismissive.
Yeah, he's very fair.
Of those that he disagrees with.
He's very fair.
It's about honestly wrestling with the text.
To the other viewpoints.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not just like...
Yeah. He's not trying to...
You know, shutting down other people's...
It's like trying to win an argument.
Interpretation.
He's trying to understand the text.
Okay.
Okay.
So let's turn our attention to the second category of signs.
All right. Let's do that.
That Dr. Peterson discusses.
Okay.
Those that indicate opposition to God.
Opposition to God. Yeah.
And the first one he addresses is tribulation.
Tribulation.
Drawing from Matthew 24:1-5:25.
Yeah.
And again, we see that, you know...
Yeah.
Important already and not yet dynamic.
That already and not yet.
At play,
uh-huh.
he points out how in Matthew's and Luke's accounts, the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD seems to serve as like a kind of foreshadowing.
Yeah, a type.
A type.
Yeah.
Of the future.
Of the future. Great tribulation.
Great tribulation, yeah.
That is yet to come.
That is still to come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we see these, you know, vivid descriptions.
Yeah.
The abomination of desolation, the urgent need to flee Judea, a period of suffering unlike any other, and then that promise that those days will be shortened for the sake of God's chosen people.
For the sake of the elect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's after this future period of great tribulation that the truly unmistakable cosmic signs will appear.
The big ones.
The big ones,
yeah.
So the darkening of the sun and moon.
Yeah.
The stars falling from the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, the sign of the Son of Man appearing in heaven.
Right.
And Dr. Peterson's very clear that these events have not yet occurred.
They have not happened yet.
Yeah.
Then we have the sign of apostasy.
Right. Apostasy.
The falling away.
From the true faith.
From the faith. Uh-huh.
He directs us to passages like Matthew 24, 2 Thessalonians 2, and 1 John, which speak of, you know, betrayal among believers.
Yeah.
The rise of false prophets.
Uh-huh.
Leading people astray.
Leading people astray. Yeah.
And that necessity of a rebellion against God.
Mm-hmm.
That will precede Christ's return.
Yeah, like that final rebellion.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And closely connected to this idea of apostasy is the concept of Antichrist.
Antichrist, yeah.
And Dr. Peterson explains that the term Antichrist has both a present and a future application. The Apostle John, in his letters, speaks of the many Antichrists who have already emerged.
That have already come.
Those who deny Christ and his teachings.
Yeah, those who oppose Christ.
Yeah. But the Apostle Paul, in 2 Thessalonians,
speaks of a singular man of lawlessness.
Yeah, that man of lawlessness.
Who is yet to be revealed.
Yeah.
And who will embody, like, ultimate opposition to God.
Yeah, that ultimate Antichrist figure.
So, once again, we see this pattern of opposition being something that is...
already present.
Already present and still to come.
Something that will reach, like, a climax in the future.
Yeah, that culmination.
Yeah.
Huh?
Uh-huh.
And Dr. Peterson mentions that the signs indicating divine judgment will be a topic. For a future deep dive.
Deep dive.
So that's something.
Yeah, we can look forward to that.
Yeah, we can look forward to exploring in more detail later on.
Yeah, we'll dig into that another time.
Okay, so as we, begin to bring this discussion to a close, what would you say are those?